Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Accent On with Alona Europa, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Ilona Europa, Accent On, London edition on LA Talk Radio. Happy New Year, happy 2021. I'm sure we all are hoping that it will be better than 2020, and life is going on. We have some hope for vaccination. We have hope that soon we'll be hugging our friends and we'll be just traveling and doing our life more outside than inside. But for now, we are doing life the same way, like a few days ago. Accent On also has a pleasure to invite for interview people from all around the world. Today is the special day. We have with us a gentleman that he lives in Los Angeles. So his name is Tyler Waits. And I am very, very proud to introduce Tyler to the whole world because he's a very, very creative person. And I'm very proud of you because I know you for many, many years. And every time when I see your art, I'm just speechless. So, hi.
Hello. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
Tyler, I would want to know, first and foremost, little bit, how was your 2020?
It was, you know, everyone probably struggled a bit 2020, I'm sure. I mean, the obvious reasons are out there, but I'm sure everyone has their own individual struggles and things they've gone through on a day-to-day basis. I'm no stranger to that. Just adjusting from seeing people, going out, doing things, to just being home a lot. I work remote here. I do all my art here. So I'm at home a lot, so it's kind of getting more familiar with just being with myself.
See your setup behind you. So I understand you are, like I said, a very creative person, and your main job is probably in front of computers. So let me to describe what is your job and who you are as a professional man. So you are art director at Black Line. And you are also known as Twizzle Stick. So this is a really, really cool name for you. So we would love to know more about this name and, of course, about your work. But maybe I will read a little bit because, who knows, maybe not so many people understand how big company is the Black Line. So Black Line is a leading provider of cloud software that automates and controls financials, close an accounting process for more than 3,200 companies they work with in the past. So sounds really, really big, very important. And you are holding this title, Art Director at Black Line. Congratulations. So can you tell us what your role is as an art director and what the role requires you to do in this company?
Sure. Yeah. I've been working at Black Line for quite a while, and it's certainly grown a lot, and it's been pretty cool to be there throughout the growth. Started out as a designer, then I went to more of a senior role and manager up to art director. And really what it has me do nowadays is I get to control a lot of the look and feel of the company, and mostly in our marketing, our outward facing look to the public. There's a lot of stuff I get to do, a lot of different stuff. So it's pretty great that there's a lot of variety in my work. Sometimes I design full events, like, you know, this year we did a virtual event, but usually we have conferences every year that have thousands of attendees from all over the world that join. So anything from live events that I get to literally design screens and stages and design that goes all over the environment, to virtual events, to documents, to videos. So It changes from the day to day, but a lot of the role is kind of just helping facilitate bringing new ideas to the company and new looks and new feels, and and seeing what works best.
Wonderful. I'm looking at you, and everybody will see how young you are. You are very young. You are very successful. So some people who would love to do what you do will ask you this question. How did your creative career begin?
It probably began in a bit, in a strange way. It wasn't so linear as I actually never, I never went to school. I never got a degree. And that's not because I don't think that school is important. I think that there's a lot to be learned from going to school and getting a degree and also learning that way. So definitely no shade on that. It's just that I kind of leaned, you know, I never really practiced art until about 2010, 2011, but I was really into computers. I was really into making whatever I could, like videos with my friends and just doing stuff for fun. And it just kind of happened where a friend's parent just said, hey, you know, we have like an intern, or we have like a, you know, you can come here and just like do menial tasks, and we just need someone to help out, like move files around on the computer. And it just sounded like something that, I mean, it was tech related, so I was interested. And I kind of just, after high school, just kind of went to go do that. And I just kind of fell in love with doing stuff that was creative and technical at the same time, like with technology. And so it kind of just propelled from there. And I met certain people in my career. And it just led to different job offers and just getting to really know people. So I think that to answer that question, I think that you certainly need to be passionate about what you're doing. And I think that that in line will bring you to work hard and just to get better at what you're doing. But I also think there's a huge social impact that you just got to meet other artists, meet other talented people, kind of pick their brain, become their friends. So I think it's a mix of kind of passion and a mix of just knowing cool people.
That's very interesting, because what I also will add to it, the self-discipline, because you, right now, you say you like to collaborate, you like to meet artists, but this year gets you stuck in home. And you know, so you really need to rely on your self-discipline and your creativity. And somebody will think, oh my gosh, you are locked in home. You don't have outside influence. You don't have that things that was so wonderful in your life, the creative one, you know, talks and, you know, probably brainstorms. We have Zoom. We have also ways of dealing with our friends. And so I'm sure this is helpful. But self-discipline, I think you as an art director, you need to have this in you. And we'll be talking a little bit later, because I have some quotes from your past clients, and they're just amazing, you know, how they describe you as a person, you as a creative artist. So, but yeah, we are talking about your company. So I know you are working right now for Blackline, but you work for so, so many known clients. You've had a lot of great clients. So, and you mentioned 2012. What year it was that you started to work in this?
Yeah, I really jumped in 2012. Before that, I never really fully saw myself going in the direction of art or design. I kind of, you know, I was thinking about architecture, I was thinking about video production, but any this other technical outlets for creativity. But 2012 is really when I jumped into design for my first time.
So who was your first big client?
Probably nothing for a while. I mean, I had a lot of small clients, and mostly it almost started off as a, you know, I feel like as a lot of designers, you just ask friends, like, do they need something? Do they need logos? Do you go online and just search for people who want design cheap just for practice? But I think my first big client was probably closer to 2016, 2017. Through my project, Twizzle Sticks, on Instagram, I got a Dom Perignon reached out to me. Wow. They wanted some art for their vintage rosé. So that was a pretty surprising project to get.
So we'll be talking about self-promotion. I will be talking about your, of course, links, promotional links, so people can go and see what you do, and maybe some new people, because you also freelance. So if you can help individual person or small business or bigger business, I'm sure you would love to do that. So we'll need to send people to your promotional links. Could you give them to us right now? And then we'll also repeat them in the end of our show.
Yeah, sure.
How we can find you, where we can find you.
A majority of my art is on Instagram. I operate on Instagram often. It's probably my biggest outlet. So it's Instagram.com/twizzlesticks, but there's an underscore. So it's twizzle, T-W-I-Z-Z-L-E underscore S-T-I-X. If you just search Twizzle Sticks on Google, I'm sure it'll come up. Next, you can find me at my name, TylerWhites.com, or LinkedIn, just Tyler Whites. Just Google search and probably come up.
Could you spell your name?
Yes, that's important. TylerWhites.
You need to tell us about your name that you're going by, Twizzle Stick. What does this mean? And why? And how did you come up with that?
You know, it's something that was like a long time in the making. There is not a significant story behind it. It's more of my name being Tyler Whites. I have a lot of friends in high school, like late high school, that would call me Twizzle. It kind of just fell into place, like Tyler Whites, T-Wizzle, Twizzle. It's just something that like people started calling me Twiz, Twizzle. I just heard so much. And I don't even know where Sticks came from. I mean, I think I just liked it. I liked how it looked. And I feel like there was a lot of stuff in design. I feel like with typography too, sometimes you just get the string of letters and you just are happy with like how they look together. And I think that Twizzle Sticks was like partially like my nickname. And then this other word that had an X in it. And I thought that was cool, I guess. I mean, it just kind of fell into place and I just kind of rolled with it. And it just kind of became like my creative moniker.
I love it. I really do. And hope people remember you by this name because it's very catchy. It's very cool. And it's very cool and obvious. We want always some story. And that's this name takes you from youth till successful in life.
Like 10th grade, 11th grade. Yeah.
But I will not let you to go too fast and not explain a few great clients that you work with and what you were doing for them. So, but I would like to say a few quotes from your past clients about you, like I mentioned, describing you and your work. So they call you exceptionally creative, brilliant professional with exceptional project management skills, innovative, extremely creative. Wow. That's a beautiful, beautiful word describing you. And so let's talk about creativity. You woke up one day and you decided, oh, I'm a creative person. No, you didn't probably. Something somehow got you to the point that people call you extremely creative. So what describes you and why do they describe you like that? What do you think? Why people describe you like that? You're extremely creative. And I know most people will be showing on our video a lot of your project, a lot of your creativity, art creativity. So people will see it, but on the radio and millions of people will be listening to Accent on London Edition on LA Talk Radio on Monday, 6 till 7 p.m. Pacific time. So they cannot see it when we speak. Very hard for me to talk about your geometrical visuality, about your movement, and some art is just stoic, steady, and certain things are moving. It's a lot of unusual, very modern point of view. Also, colors are beautiful. So you got this twist on your project, on your art, that a lot of great clients, and I say like Sony Entertainment, Dom Perignon, you mentioned, Ticketmaster, Comedy Central, Live Nation, the Hollywood Bowl, Sofar Sounds, they are big names, they are companies, you know, and I know you had probably hundreds of smaller clients that for them, your creativity really was so important that they gave you the job and you took probably their businesses to higher level because of your art. So why people think you are exceptionally creative? And just give us, you know, honestly, it's not like, oh, I don't want to talk about how great I am. No, you need to tell us why you're so great. How does this happen?
Well, I mean, it's extremely humbling to hear those words from people. I definitely appreciate that a lot. And it's been a long journey to where, from where I started to where I am now. But I think that at this point, I've just been really, I mean, I live my day to day. I live like art from day to night, morning to night. I really am out there looking for inspiration all the time. I'm reading a lot about it. It's kind of became my lifestyle as far as dedicating myself to like learning new things and approaching things in different ways. I definitely pride myself in not having one look, which I know that sometimes that can be incredible and defining for an artist. I don't ever put that down, but I really like being able to look at something and be like, can I make something like that too? I don't like really putting myself in a box and being like this style is like my style. So I think that kind of a mix between the amount of work that I put out and the variety of my work I put out, I feel like maybe it's something that clients have been able to look at and see that they can pick and choose a look. It's almost like a whole catalog of different types and feels and styles and colors. And I think that maybe that's landed me at with a lot of different jobs and a lot of different opportunities, just because of like the large amount of work and the large amount of styles that go into it.
That's beautiful. And, you know, there are clients and clients. Some clients will accept everything and they will trust artists and they taste your taste. Some clients, they probably have something in mind already. They want you to follow what they think is right for them, and they ask for the twist and your input and your art. So what type of clients do you prefer, or you just like working for any clients because your main goal is to make them happy and just also give yourself and your creativity in their hands and hoping that they will accept what they see? So do you think that bigger companies are harder to work for or with? How do you think smaller companies, individuals, who is the best client for you?
That's a tough question, because it's never consistent. I've worked with individuals that have been very difficult. I've worked with like large companies that have been difficult, and also the inverse. I've worked with, you know, companies that are just, they want me to make, they're just like, we see your work, we like what you do, just make us something. You know, or sometimes, you know, they're like, this is our colors, this is our logo. We like this piece you did, just do something similar. And I'm just like, okay, great. So I think that, especially since I work at Blackline full time, anything on the side is just, I'm kind of fitting into my own time in my life, just in the sidelines of working full time. So I think that at this point, I'm more interested in working in a more of a collaboration style, where instead of just creating something that, I think it needs to be kind of like a push and pull with me and the client, in the sense that my art input is like part of the project instead of just being hired to build something. I think that at this point, I think I'm very much more interested in taking my look and feel and like bringing it to a company and working with them as more of a, you know, a collaborative effort.
So in your company, in Blackline, how many people you are working with?
Like at our company or
yeah, in your company, my team? Company, yeah, in your
so company. Blackline is a pretty good company now, and it's definitely stretched internationally. We have, I believe, over 1,300 employees at Blackline now. Oh. But my team, we have it's just five of us, so we run a pretty tight ship there. Yeah, it's
that's lovely. So when you look back, you know, we are calling 2012 as a first year that you think there was a year that you decided that's what you want to do, and you got your first job. And do you remember the moment, or do you remember art? Do you remember a client, something that really, really made you feel like, okay, I think I made it. I think from this moment on, I got a little bit success, you know, and people can perceive me right now as a success in this industry. Because, you know, we all want this little pat on our heads. We want somebody bigger than us, or somebody much older, or somebody who was doing this, say, you are into something. You are really cool. You are really good. Or maybe there was a project that somebody said did make a difference in our company. You really did an amazing job. Do you remember, especially in the beginning of your career?
I think in the beginning of my career, I had a lot of, I knew that's what I wanted to do. And when I got into it and I started working at that first company where I was essentially an intern or an assistant, I knew this was the kind of stuff I wanted to do, but I just knew that I was so lacking in the skill or the experience. I was kind of just watching these people do incredible work and kind of just wishing I knew how to do it. So I think that I definitely feel I felt a little bit anxious or a little bit nervous that I was kind of in above my head with where I am and what I'm surrounded by. And I think that, I don't know if I really felt that kind of, as you were saying, like pat on the head for a bit, not in a negative way, but I just felt like I had so much to learn and I don't really feel like I wanted to, I didn't really know if I wanted to self-congratulate myself until I really started kind of diving harder into it. I just kind of spent a lot of time just making things as much as I could. And I think that just kind of that in itself kind of made me happy to know that I'm now working towards this new career that I found. I think it was quite a bit later when I started getting more clients that I kind of started to be more happy about, you know, now this is all paid off, you know, this time I put in, it seems like things are propelling now. And so I think it took a few years to really feel that way.
So this is like performing artist, which one day we'll be talking a little bit about that too, maybe in another interview. People will find you another side of your artistic soul. But when you perform, all artists are nervous. So when you meet your client, I'm asking this question, because being insecure and always treating another client like another door to heaven, you know, to something bigger than life, you probably were petrified. Are you the one that they really will accept and your project too? So I think, or maybe not, or maybe you have this confidence in you that just when you bring something and you show something, you believe that they will see your greatness or they will find that this your vision is the right vision for what they're looking for. So are you nervous every time when you meet new client, or are you right now a little secure with yourself? You know what I'm saying? So many young people and people on a Facebook watch, and people always see the successful people, young people. How old are you, if I may ask?
I just turned 29 in October.
So that's what I'm saying about very, very young gentleman and pretty successful. So people always say, oh my gosh, you know, how did he do it? But you are describing your journey. You're describing, you know, the beginning. You're describing that you learn how it goes, that you loved technology, you love the computers, you love everything, but somebody gave you a little bit way in today's business. You did the best, like you could learn like crazy. You saw these amazing people with brains and visions. You try to think maybe one day I can do that. Then one day you start doing that. It took you 4 years to find the first bigger client, but in the meantime, you were taking a lot of different jobs. And then I'm asking you about, you know, how confident you are in what you are doing right now, and asking you how nervous you are when another client or your, you know, big company asking you to do something for them. Are you nervous or you are confident right now? Is this 8 or 9 years in this business gave you this peace of mind that you're cool, you're good, I think you are good, and you are ready to roll even higher, you know?
I think it's been a slow build-up. I think that at first I probably wasn't as confident, to be honest. I think that, you know, part of it maybe was kind of the not so typical kind of journey of me getting into design, just kind of getting thrown into something with no real experience, no degree, no certificate, nothing, just kind of learning it. And at that point, it kind of felt a little bit more pressure, because now my skill is the only thing that matters, because I don't have anything to show otherwise. So I kind of felt like I had to kind of overdo it and just jump in hard. And I think that nowadays, especially with just YouTube and tutorials online and stuff, like if you want to do this kind of stuff, there's so many resources for free out there. And that's kind of where I jumped in. And I think that to kind of go more back to what you were saying about confidence, I think that nowadays I definitely am a lot more confident in my art and in my clients I pick and what I provide them. I think that really, I mean, it's kind of a cheesy saying that everyone's probably heard, but fake it till you make it kind of stuff, that I didn't feel confident early on. And I was always worried with clients that maybe my work just wasn't that good and that they're not going to be happy with it. Or maybe that would really break me down if I like got that rejection. But I think that if you can kind of get that mindset that if you can fake it till you make it, if you can really try to like live in that position, then you'll feel more comfortable doing it. And you'll eventually get to the point where that's what you're doing. And I think that,
wonderful words because, you know, this life is, everybody's in competition with somebody else. Everybody tries to say, oh, am I good like this person? Am I good like that person? But, and people go and pay for amazing schools. They really, really, you know, studying and they think that's what will give them this diploma or something will give them, you know, knock to doors and they will be opening because of that. But you are proving that by your dream, but something that you really love to do, but again, self-discipline, by self-education and the passion for what you do, and of course talent, because you need to be born with the talent, you really can get far. So I hope young people or older people listen to you, because like you said, you know, we all can switch to another profession in lifetime. Sometimes that's what we were doing never made us happy, but inside of us we have something nobody maybe taught us how, but because we love to do certain different things, we also can put more energy into this part of life, and maybe the second business part of our business will be something that we'll be loving to do forever, you know. And you know, so I will say you're the lucky one, because your job has also a lot of perks like travels. You were 2020 stops you from traveling, but you as a young man, you travel so much. And I always ask your mama, and a lot of people are watching Accent On and listening to you know, your mother music and your daddy music. So, and I say, where is Tyler? Oh, he's there. He's flying here. He's there. She's so proud of you. So proud of you. So the travels, where did you go in your life? What country did you visit already? And where would you like to go back to, and why?
Well, let's see. I definitely, in the last like 8 years, I've definitely done a lot of travel. I'd say a lot of it was with Blackline, because I would design these events. A lot of them were international, so it brought me to London quite a few times. So I was out there, and I feel like I would always just, I love London, and that was always some of my favorite trips. But while I'm out there, I figured you might as well tack on and just go on an adventure after this big work event. You know, everyone would take time off probably anyway. So I found myself, for work, I've been to Ireland, I've been to UK, I've been to France, I've been to Australia a few times. But then kind of on the side, I've gone to Japan, I've gone to Vietnam. Let's see, I've been to the Netherlands, definitely just a lot of different countries, just trying to kind of take it all in. I definitely say, I think Japan was my favorite though.
So probably, when I will ask you another question, what inspires you, you know, and you as a creative mind, probably everything, when you look at something, you already think, oh, this will be okay if I will do something like that. This I need to remember. I need to make maybe photos of something. Maybe how do you do when you see something that inspires you? Are you putting in your head, you like as a picture, or you are going with your cameras and you're snapping the pictures because you know that you cannot forget them. In the future, you can maybe use some type of vision, some type of look. Yes. And you mentioned Japan. This must be like the craziest technological, you know, way of thinking about the future, this country, and it's just amazing. So how do you give birth to your creativity? Is it a moment? Is it something that you see and then lock in your brain, or you need to have photos you need to have and you accumulate? Because you, when we send people to your Instagram, which you will give us again, your Instagram, for people who don't remember very, very well, you have like 700 different arts that you are showing, you know, for people to flip and to look into and just understand how your brain works. So how your brain works, how you're lacking your vision, how you're lacking your idea, future idea in your brain.
So a lot of it, I think, has been, I mean, it's, you know, this last year, it's been a bit different because we can't travel, we can't go out. A lot of inspiration I do pull from nature, I pull from cities, I pull from just going out and about, like Japan, for instance. I feel like a ton of my art has been, a byproduct of traveling to Tokyo and Kyoto and taking lots of photos, going out at night, just kind of shooting some neon lights, just kind of this like urban cityscape that was just, to me, I was just absolutely amazed with. So a lot of it would come from photography, just also enjoying taking photos. And at this point, I think all phones are good enough where if you want to capture a moment, it's just, you know, you got a camera in your pocket, so it's just, you're good to go. But I think a lot of it too is just also following a lot of other artists, following a lot of other people that do similar things, using Pinterest, just being inundated with art all the time, that you kind of pull things from the things you like the most to kind of make it your own. And I think there's absolutely nothing wrong with that, of just finding like pieces of different art styles and things and kind of just mashing it into your own thing.
Huh. And when it comes to color, do you have like specific colors that you like to use, and it can define you? Because you mentioned that you really think your styles is not like, oh, you see and say, oh, that's a Tyler. You have many styles and you want to be this way. You just want to be this way. But I saw some favorite colors that you like to use, or this is me who perceive you through these colors, or you have your favorite one.
I definitely, that's tough. I mean, I definitely like to kind of dabble with like a full art, like full color palette. I definitely don't try to limit myself too much, but I definitely start to go towards like red, like hot colors. I think that also like maybe inspired by Japan and Tokyo. And I think that I'm really drawn to like neon kind of stuff. Like even behind me here, I have some skateboard decks with some art that I've done. It's just kind of these neon lights. So I think a lot of stuff I've done is kind of like glowing vibrance, either like purple, like red, green, blue, like kind of like that digital colors. I think that definitely comes out a lot.
They're very vibrant. There's something lively about them. There's this like, you know, you are gentle, but you are also aggressive, you know, and then you have like the sharp lines, and then you have peaceful tonality, and then you have movement up front. So I don't know, because you know, I was talking to my daughter Natasha, who knows you for so many years, and she said, "Mama, you need to ask Taylor, how does he do that?" You know, obviously you cannot give us any explanation. Maybe you can. We all have our computers and we have our phones. Is it for me or somebody young? What is the coolest way to start to play with the phone, with the creative, some programs? What could you give somebody who is maybe 12, 13 years old and start and dreams that one day they could be the art director from Blackline?
Well, there's a lot of different art outlets digitally. You could do, you know, 2D flat stuff. You could do kind of more painting, like with a stylus on computer. I my stuff's mostly 3D digital art, so CGI art. And if you want to go that route, I think, you know, there's so many resources online. There's so many people that are doing tutorials on YouTube. There's software that's free to get into it, like Blender. That's a pretty great 3D software. It's completely free and it's always free.
Okay.
I use Cinema 4D. That's my favorite piece of software. That's what I use to make all my work. Is that piece of 3D software. But even if you wanted to kind of get in and not spend any money, Blender is a great option. But I think it's just experimenting. I think I just started with tutorials, people who knew more than me, and just jumping in and making a cube and rotating it and trying to throw color on it, and throw a light in the scene. And it's, and a lot of 3D art is kind of like mimicking real life when you build it. You have to put a shape in there. You have to put a light source. You have to put a material on it. It's kind of like building a scene just digitally on the computer that you would do in normal life.
Did you ever think about starting university on online or on Zoom? So people who would like to, maybe after this show, they would like to knock to your doors and say, oh my gosh, I want you to be my teacher. Would you like to do something like that? I'm sure you don't have too much time, but you know, like Sunday mornings or something for a lot of people, they would love to deal and talk to you about that.
There's kind of an avenue I've been looking at for this year as we continue to be inside and I'm home more and have more time. I was thinking of using Twitch as my platform. So a lot of people stream games on Twitch. A lot of people also stream art on Twitch. So I was thinking of doing live streams where you could join in the chat and you can watch me as I'm working live. So I can answer questions. You can follow along with me. So I think I might start doing live sessions of like working on my art.
I really, really think this will be so cool for you and for people who just want to be inspired by you right now. So now my another question is, we all are inspired by certain creative people. Do you think you have a few or maybe only one or maybe two that really challenge you, or they just build in you the fire in you and the need to be like them, or maybe one day even better, or maybe you are already better than them? But how many people influenced you in the beginning, now, and hope in the future?
Oh, so many. I mean, there's so many different designers that are, you know, big shot designers, like classic designers, 3D artists. I'd say one really big one that I definitely looked up towards and wanted to work with is, his name's Beeple, B-E-E-P-L-E. Beeple has been doing 3D art every single day for, I think, over 10 years or more, honestly. He works 365 making 3D art, and his stuff is just crazy. Some of it's hilarious. Some of it's very intricate. I'd say he's probably one of the top digital artists out there. I've just always kind of wanted to follow in his footsteps and learn how he does stuff. And so I'd say Beeple has been a huge influence for me. I highly suggest you to check him out on Instagram or anywhere.
Did you try to get in touch with him?
I actually have shown, before COVID, I had shown art at a showcase in downtown, and I had met up with Beeple, and I got to say hi to him, and it was great. I got to kind of show some work on the side with his work at the same art show. So it is kind of funny how I ended up kind of inadvertently meeting him in the... So it all kind of came together.
So many times in life happens that when we have somebody we are looking up to and we never think that one day we can meet them, somehow, somewhere, our roads are crossing and we are meeting these very important people in our lives. So right now we are 29. So do you think you know what you will be doing when you will be like 40 years old? What is the next 11 years like in your mind? Or are you thinking ahead like that, or you just like to live day by day, or you have your bigger plan?
Oh man, that's a tough question. I think for me at the moment, especially during this kind of COVID-19 time, I think it works best for me to just to take it day by day. And I think that especially with the kind of uncertainty of how this is all going, although it sounds like things will be better this year, I think it's better, at least in my kind of mental space, to just keep making stuff day by day, keep working on my projects, just keep getting better, keep focusing on that, staying happy, doing my art, and kind of see where it takes me. I think that, I think it's very hard to plan out your life, especially years later. You can have goals and aspirations, certainly, but I think sometimes you can kind of set yourself up to not feel the way you should have felt because you were kind of planning so hard on the future.
I know what you mean. That's very interesting what you say, especially in a situation like we are right now for the past last year. That's very interesting because I'm the person who always see to the future. I always am very optimistic, thinking that things will be not only better, but certain things that I dream about, that will happen, you know. But this year, of course, taught me so much that planning, who is planning? You know, it's silly to plan. So I loved what you said, that using the time that we have right now is maybe the most important thing that we can do, and teach ourselves that life is really made of day by day greatness, instead of humping and say, okay, 2-3 years, that's what I will be doing. That's what I want to go to. And I think I love your approach because, you know, you are living in the moment right now and you are trying to do the best. And I'm sure you're creating something in your mind that nobody yet saw, that this may be different from anything that you did before, because that's what artists do. We always have something hidden under the table that nobody yet can see, but you are thinking about this. But I really do like and appreciate your approach. And this is another lesson, I think, from this interview. Outside of young people, just don't count yourself. It's only that you get your diploma and your life will be perfect. Lots of things is the hard work, wonderful work, believing in yourself, fake it till you make it, like you mentioned. But yeah, also, like you say, a person like you who is locked right now, you are like the bird without the wings, somebody will say. You have window, you know, but really the window, you know, doesn't let us go. Nobody. So we really need to think more close. And you can become a much better person, focusing on what you do today the best like you can. But where is the time for something lighter, Tyler? Is not only that you are working. What are you doing when you are not working? You can tell us, what did you do before? You know, what is your hobby? What are you doing, you know, in life when you don't constantly need to think, I need to be creative, I'm creating, and your mind probably is over and over thinking about your next project. So how can you relax?
You know, I do my 3D art on outside of Blackline, of my full-time job. I'm doing my own 3D art. I'm doing freelance. So that takes up a lot of time. But to be honest, I just feel really lucky that my career and my hobby are almost the same thing. Wow. So I find that a lot of, and it's kind of how it is, that a lot of the 3D stuff I do is stuff I do at work and stuff I do at home when I'm just listening to music and having fun. So I get a lot of, especially my personal art when it's not tied to freelance, when it's just my own blank slate. I feel like I've gotten to the point where it's very therapeutic for me to just make stuff, considering that I'm not necessarily on a timeline. There's no deadline. If I don't like what I'm doing, it's like there's no, I don't have to post it. I don't have to show it to anyone. I could take as long as I want. So I think that working on art is really actually also my hobby. Something I just do a lot for fun. I've really kind of sinking into that groove. But if I were to kind of pull away from a computer, I do like to play music. I like to play guitar, drums.
Sing?
Sing. So I've been doing the music on the side too a little bit.
We see drums behind you, so not on the guitar.
Yeah, there you go. So playing a couple instruments, it's almost like a stark contrast. If I'm not at the computer, I want to be far away from the computer. So acoustic instruments mostly. I've been a long distance runner for 10, 15 years. So I'm out running a lot, just going out into nature. I think there's inspiration that comes from that too. But just trying to kind of stay healthy and be outside as much as I can, I guess, to the most safe extent, I suppose.
And when I entered your website, you wrote that you love cats. You are the cat person.
Oh, yeah.
Do you have cat right now?
I unfortunately do not. I do not have a cat right now, but I would love to get a cat. It's tricky because before pandemic, I worked in office at Blackline. I traveled a lot. So it's been very hard to have a pet living on my own here because they're just home all the time by themselves. Pandemic definitely, this whole situation definitely makes me want to get a pet now that I'm home, but I know that I won't permanently stay home. So I'm kind of trying to think about what's best for the pet, but I would love a cat. I would love many cats. Oh, wow. I could be a cat dad for sure.
We have one more opportunity to send people your way, and please give us your links for people who will be watching our interview on Facebook on Accent On. They will see it, the links, but of course our radio and our radio show cannot do that. So from your lips to everybody's ears, one more time, if people want to see your art, the best place to visit you is?
Sure. The best place to visit me and visit my art under my Twizzle Sticks project is Instagram. So it's instagram.com/ @twizzle_sticks, T-W-I-Z-Z-L-E _STIX, or just Google search Twizzle Sticks as one single word, and I'm sure it'll come up pretty quickly. The next place is my website, tylerweitz.com, TYLERWEITZ.com.
Wonderful. I like your website. I like the black. I like the redness. I like the really, really, it's very cool. So I think people fall in love with your art. And I know you have a lot of people liking your stuff. You have sometimes thousands of people responding to your art. So it's really, really impressive. So I hope after this show, we'll be having so many more viewers and likes and also clients. And who knows where this opportunity will take all of us. Maybe you have great clients who will just see that nobody else is better than you. And obviously in 2021, that's what we wish you, and I wish to everybody to just have great opportunities, more opportunities that we like to work with. And like you mentioned, that what makes you really, really happy is your job. So when I ask you, what is your hobby, how you relax, you say, by working, because it's still, I love what I do. So you really like your job. Congratulations on that. So, but we were talking a little bit about you as a private person, about musician. You talk about running and a healthy lifestyle. Do you have favorite recipe?
Favorite recipe?
Because you're alone. I don't want to ask a private question, but it seems like you're not married yet. So you probably are cooking for yourself. I don't think so. You're ordering food all the time.
So if you want to find a, there's a pain point there. I am not a great cook. I'm not a great chef.
Tutorials on YouTube, you know, you can learn that.
that's true. I've just, and I'm sure that's just comes in part to the fact that I've never taken the time either. I think anyone could probably be good at cooking if you take the time and learn it, just like anything. But I've never prided myself on my culinary abilities to put it into words. I eat simple things. I do order food a lot. I try to have just a lot of mix of fruits and vegetables. I am a vegetarian for the most part. I try not to eat a whole lot of meat sometimes, but I go pretty meatless for most days.
Oh, very interesting. So great for people to know that too, and the side of you. And also, last things when it comes to cooking, I am probably hungry. That's why I'm talking about it. But if you are create, and probably you forget that you're hungry. But then, you know, your stomach said, oh, it's enough. I'm hungry. So again, what you'll go for in your refrigerator? What will be the first things that you will just make your head and stomach happy so you can work again? People say peanut butter, but not everybody likes peanut butter. So do you have snack that really gets you energy and gets you really like reinforced again to be happy and work again?
Well, I mean, if you consider coffee a snack, that's definitely there. I drink a lot of coffee. I love coffee. tea too. It's just nice and relaxing to have tea as well. But that's more of like a drink. I eat a lot of, I just like eating carrots. So to me, it's like a healthy snack. I mean, it is a healthy snack, but I definitely will just have carrots and ranch or something. Just like, or pita and hummus. I just love like dipping snacks, I guess.
Wonderful.
So it's
always really beautiful. It's very, very clean. It's really gorgeous, you know? So I know you are living very healthy, very beautiful lifestyle. And again, you are very successful. So coming back to your job, if I will ask you maybe one question, if you close your eyes and you pick again one project that gave you so much satisfaction or so much trouble and eventually in the end was perfect. So do you remember what it was? What was the company what was the project and why it was so hard or so easy?
I have one that was probably from, I believe it was the end of 2018. I got approached by a friend recommended me to a certain production house, and they were putting on the 100th anniversary of the Hollywood Bowl. So it was a big show. It had a lot of people in it. It was just kind of the star-studded show with a lot of performances, and they wanted someone to project visuals onto the Hollywood Bowl. So if you think of the bowl, it has kind of like the rings that go inward. They wanted someone, they wanted this technology where they could project video onto each of the rings. So wow. there'd be a different graphic, and there's no screens on those rings. So it's a projector using a term called projection mapping, where you can map out in 3D kind of how a projector hits certain objects. So it was kind of a new technology. To me, it was a new technology. I've never really tried this method before, but they wanted me to make visuals for the performance for Caliucci's and Katy Perry at the Hollywood Bowl. So they wanted visuals for their performance in the background. And so that was, to me, like an incredible to be offered that experience, but also incredibly terrifying because it's such a huge, so many people will see this, and it needs to be, there was a lot of people on the back end, like reviewing what I was making and having input of what it should be. And so it was
a real request that asked for certain things. So you knew if you fail, everybody will know you didn't get delivered. Oh gosh. And for Starlight.
Yeah. And it wasn't the kind of project where they'll just be like, let's roll with it. It's like, it needs to be perfect or it's not going to be there at all. And so there was a lot of back and forth, just kind of like nailing. They gave me a lot of creative freedom, but there was definitely a lot of colors and things that they wanted. They wanted to have this kind of candy feel. Like, I almost imagine like the texture of like those kind of spiral lollipops. They're kind of like shiny and colorful. They want to have these kind of visuals that were like very like candy shop looking, that would be on those rings. So after a lot of revisions, a lot of 3D rendering, a lot of meetings, we kind of got to a good spot, and they used it in the show, and I got to watch the show with my visuals, and it was really cool. It was really like an amazing thing to see kind of my art on the Hollywood Bowl for the 100th anniversary. So it was really, to me, incredible.
That's a big memory. It's wonderful. So now I will ask you something that really didn't come how you wanted, and just, you know, and not that you failed, but something that really you remember, like, and you want to forget very fast. Did you have situations in life?
Well, early, I've been lucky enough to be able to kind of pick and choose my clients because I work full time. I'm not just taking in everyone. I kind of vet my clients to make sure that like we're a good match together, because I think that any good art project is, like I said, is a relationship. And I think that I've been lucky enough to kind of step away from people who I think maybe this is not a good fit. But early on in my career, I feel like I would just take kind of anything that would come my way.
Of course.
And I've definitely had a couple clients who will just kind of try to kind of suck you dry from your work. They'll just want more and more and more and different things. I've definitely had projects where it kind of just burns you out, where you almost are just trying to make things just to like be done with it. I feel like a lot of designers will admit they've been there before.
You know what?
So I think
teaching a lesson right now, everybody, that no is a great word to learn.
It's probably the best tool in a designer's tool case there. Yeah.
Yeah. So I know what you are going, where you are going with this story. So yes, if you have people who just suck you for everything, and just for whatever reason, you have the power, and you sometimes need to protect yourself and say enough. No. Yeah. Just know, but mostly younger people, like you say, they need to go through this hell to get to the point like you, that you now pick and choose job that you want to do. You just avoid the situation that could be troubled. And also what you do so, so well, you're keeping relationships with your past clients. So that I'm sure people talk about you and how great you are. And again, everybody who wants to go to see your website, please go to...
TylerWeitz.com, TylerWeitz.com. You can find people I've worked with from the past. You can find my art project, or just reach out to me if you want to work on a project together.
That's amazing. So I will say today, we had a wonderful story, life story of very young and very successful entrepreneur and art director for Blackline. And you showed us and told us how you started, who you are right now, and we didn't ask where you want to go, but we decided that today is an every day that counts. So you taught us this beautiful lesson for 2021. Let's cherish every moment in our life. Let's make our work the place that we also call hobby, or something that we want to go back to, that doesn't make us so tired, that we complain, and also find out a simple life's pleasure, like nice stick of carrot, great coffee, and just great drums or guitar is something that keeps us sane. And of course, people. We probably need to be thankful for everybody who got us to this point, that we are so happy in life. And I see you are content. I see you are successful. I see you are happy. So we are happy with you. And we are so, you know, enjoying this relationship. 1 hour relationship or 50 minutes relationship on Act and On. And for whole world to listen to us, please tune in live to LA Talk Radio, to Accent On, Channel 1, from 6 till 7 p.m. Pacific time, this Monday and every Monday. This will be almost my 10 years. So your host, wow, Ilona Europa, wishes you, Tyler Weitz, all the best for 2021. All the best to your family. Success, success, success. And just hopefully soon we can come and hug each other, yes, and just, you know, see each other in person in London, because I know you love to come back here. So yes, say hi definitely to your parents, to your friends, to our friends. And again, all the best to you in 2021. Thank you for today. Acted On London Edition, and your host Ilona Europa says goodbye for today and happy, happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
You're listening to Accent On with Ilona Europa, right here on LA Talk Radio.